Father, we thank you and we love you this morning. We say, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. To God be the glory. We love you, Lord. We thank you for our gathering together unto the Lord today and gathering with one another of fellowship and to hear the word of the Lord. Now, Lord, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding into our hearts. Even so, let it be. God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we are now in the month of August and we're, you know, exactly 1 month away from the start of our September to Remember event. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to prepare for that event, you know. And while we're preparing, you'll also be blessed. To God be the glory. So let's make sure that we are ready in our hearts with expectation from the Lord. I'm going to be doing a preparation series here and there starting today. We have also announced our consecration time. Check that out on the WhatsApp platform this month in preparation still for that event. Now today, I want to talk on the subject and speak to us about prepare ye the way of the Lord and the way of the people. That sounds like a strange topic, you know, but we'll find out as we look into the scriptures this morning and prepare our hearts. It is very important for us to prepare our hearts, you know, when God wants to do something or he announces his intention to do something. Reason God announces things ahead of time. How many times he did that in the scriptures? It's for preparation of the heart. You know, sometimes he will tell them, tomorrow you go down to such and such a place, like he told Jehoshaphat through the prophet. Tomorrow. He didn't say today. And in fact, he didn't say right now. He said tomorrow. And that gave them an opportunity to make preparation. As a matter of fact, when Jehoshaphat heard that word, the way that he made preparation was impressive. The first thing was that he bowed down his head and worshipped, because he heard what the Lord said he is going to do. Glory to God. And he worshipped and commanded. He led the charge, actually. Worship, commanded all the people. It's wonderful when you have a king that leads the people in worship. When you have a leader, a physical leader, that's also a spiritual leader. He led the people in worship. He even told them to believe the word of the Lord. You know, and they began to worship and to prepare their hearts for what the Lord was going to do. You know, so, you know, God will always announce something, you know, before he actually does it. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that, you know. And here's one punchline right away today. Before God reveals his glory, he will raise a voice or send a messenger and a cry. You know, throughout the scriptures, we see stuff like blow the trumpet in Zion. Joel chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. God calling his people to prepare for divine visitation. We would see many things like that. And we're going to be talking about some examples where we actually saw how the Lord prepared his own way, you know, and how the Lord prepared also the way of the people. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. We look at the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40 concerning what turned out to be John the Baptist. And Isaiah said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." Crying in the wilderness. I mean, John seemed like a lone voice at the time. It was like his voice was all alone. In fact, you know, to make it even more dramatic that his voice was all alone, he was out in the wilderness, you know, by himself. And, but, you know, he was laser focused on what he needed to do. And when he came, when he arrived upon the scene anywhere, you know, his appearance and his voice was very focused. And his announcement was, or his mission was to announce the coming of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But here's how Isaiah, you know, prophesied, you know, this thing in advance. And most of the things that God will do, he will say it in advance. Even many things in the Old Testament are prophesying in advance of things that would later happen in the New Testament. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." When you do that, here's a covenant promise. "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." So it seemed as if all of these things were the preparation for the glory of the Lord. You know, the preparing of the way of the people, the voice, whatever that voice will be saying, and all of those things, and even things that God will cause to come to pass, you know, like making the mountains to be plain. I mean, bringing down mountains, filling valleys, making crooked places straight, making rough places plain. All of those things preceding and accompanying the advent or the glory of God. The coming of the glory of God. That's what it was all about. In this case, Christ was that glory. You know, Christ was that glory of the Lord. But all these things had to happen. There needed to be a voice. And there needed to be some other things in the spirit realm that would be happening in order for that glory to be revealed. Well, it's the same thing even for us today as we prepare for September to remember. There is something that the Lord is, this is something the Lord is calling for. We want to assure our hearts that we are ready from the Lord. Praise God. Matthew chapter 3. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So we see that he condensed, Matthew condensed all of that into just those few sentences. This was what John was doing, preparing the way of the Lord. You know, and then there is also this concept of preparing the way of the people. Or you might say preparing the way for the people. Now, let's look at the story. There's a story in the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Now, this is when they were, God had given Joshua instruction, do some things after the Lord took Moses away. Joshua was commanded to go ahead of the people and bring them in to the land of promise. But Joshua himself had some instructions from the Lord that he had to pass along to the people. And so he would hear the instructions first. He had to make sure he understood it in order to pass it along. And many times Joshua would repeat the instructions to the people and make sure they understood it. When they went up against Jericho, the Lord gave him instructions. And he had to repeat it to the people. Make sure you understand this. Wait for my command. Because the Lord has commanded me and I'm going to command you, and you wait for my command. You do as I say. He commanded them. He understood what the charge that the Lord was giving him. In this place, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the people, the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. So that was a charge to the priests. Well, there was a charge also to the people. To the people, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I mean, it seemed like there was always a voice calling people to preparation, giving them instruction what to do. And for the priests, they were supposed to go over. And the Lord had told Joshua what he was going to do. And the Lord said, well, I'm going to do this thing, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord will pass over before you into Jordan. But you got to do these things. He told them some other things to do as well. And it came, he said, the Lord told them, it shall come to pass. He predicted, prophesied this thing before it happened. He said in verse 13 of Joshua 3, shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, even the Lord of the whole earth, as soon as their feet shall rest in the waters of Jordan, shall come to pass that those waters shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up upon a heap. And it came to pass, the people did as Joshua commanded. Let the priests go in front, and you guys give some space so you can see how they move. You follow as they move. Follow their lead. And when they did, well, it says here, and it came to pass the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan. And that the priest that bore the ark, they went before the people. And it came to pass as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bore the ark dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed his banks at that time. It came to pass that even then the waters which came down from above, there was the streams that were feeding, those waters. And all of those rose up as an heap. Woo-hoo. Just like the word of the Lord said. Just like before, the Lord said, and he said, and the priests, cut off on either side, the water cut off on either side, rose up, and there was like a dry land, similar, but in smaller dimension to the parting of the Red Sea. And those priests, they stood on firm ground, allowing the children of Israel to pass over. Now, Jordan was a terror at that part of that season of harvest. It used to overflow and different things. It was like tsunami just coming in and you know, blowing everything away in its path. And so people stayed away from it, you know, because, you know, the waves were very proud at that time. So, you know, but the Lord gave them instruction. Here's what you do. You go before the people. When you get there, as soon as your feet touch the brim of the water, God is going to make something happen. But there was an announcement. And there was somebody had to go before. In the book of Isaiah chapter 62 verse 10, we have this commandment from the Lord. And I'm going to bring the relevance of all of this in a minute. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Now, the other one was prepare ye the way of the Lord. This one is prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people to follow. There's always a standard like a banner that the people would follow. You know, to see that banner is raised up above all the crowd. You may not see, you know, everybody in front of you because of the crowd, but you can see that banner because it's raised higher than the crowd. You keep following the direction that you see that banner going. Lift up a standard for the people and say, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say something, your salvation. Say to the daughter of Zion, your salvation is coming. The Lord is bringing his reward with him and his walk before him. You know, but it's like, there's got to be an announcement before the Lord actually does the thing. And I'll put it out there and announce it to generate expectation. You know, say, behold, thy salvation cometh or is coming. And the Lord is bringing his reward with him and his work is before him. And at the end of the day, the impact of that work, you know, the people will be transformed. They shall now start calling them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You know, and you be called sought out. You know, when God appears in the midst of the camp like that, he will draw things. First of all, the rebels will run away because they will hear that God is in the camp and they will be afraid. But those that want to experience God will draw near. Say, we want to see this thing. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. You know, so his presence would do that. Now, here are some points we want to cover today. God, number one, always announces his coming before he actually arrives. You know, God doesn't just move suddenly. Note, he moves strategically, prophetically, and purposefully. And that's how God moves. Not just randomly, you know, or just, even when he says suddenly, even before the suddenly, it was already planned, was already a preparation. Jesus told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until. So there was a purpose and there was a date in God's mind. He wanted to align it, you know, with Pentecost. Pentecost was a time of certain feasts that was critical in understanding the role of the Messiah. So he wanted to align that there. So he said, well, tarry. But when that day was fully come, you know, then suddenly, you see, but it wasn't really suddenly before then. They waited about 10 days. So there was a waiting, there was a preparation, but when he starts, it's just sudden. So God always announces his move. He moves strategically, prophetically, you know, like he says in Amos 3 and 7. The Lord will do nothing without first revealing it to his prophets. That's right. They will reveal it, and the prophets will prophesy. They will begin to speak it. Jesus himself was doing the same thing. He was like the prophet. Now, Moses said, you know, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet unto me. So Jesus was that, like unto me. So he was that prophet. And he will prophesy many things. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He would prophesy. He would speak it ahead of time. The Son of Man shall go, you know, into Jerusalem and shall be betrayed, you know, into the hands of the chief priests, you know, and so forth. And they shall put him to death, but he shall rise again the third day. He was always saying these things before it happened. And prepare the people, also prepare his own self too. You know, so God moves strategically. There's a strategy even behind September to remember. It's not just some random thing. You know, it's prophetic. Even the name itself is prophetic. And it's purposeful. And we want to, this month, as we lead up to next month, begin to call our attention to what God is doing. When God calls for a gathering, why? You know, we're going to find out. So number one thing here is God will always announce his coming or what he wants to do among the people before he actually arrives. Glory to God. Announce it. You know, in the book of Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9, you know, hundreds of years before Christ actually did that thing, it was announced. Behold, thy king, rejoice, daughter of Zion, for thy king cometh unto you, riding on an ass and the foal of a colt, and so on. I mean, Zechariah prophesied it years in advance, before it was actually fulfilled in Christ. And Christ, in order to fulfill that, sent a couple of his disciples. Go over here, you'll see a colt and an ass, you know, bring them to me. And if anyone asks you anything, just say the master has need of it, because he needed to fulfill that. But it was prophesied long in advance. You know, even the coming of Christ the first time, Micah prophesied it. Isaiah prophesied it. Micah even told us exactly where he will be born. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. You know, be glad, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah. You know, say, well, you, even though you are the smallest of these cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor among my people, whose goings forth have been from of old. He didn't just start the day he was born as a baby. Have been way before that, you know, from everlasting. And Isaiah prophesied it, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is presented. I mean, these things were strategic. His birth, then leading to his presentation, a son is giving. You give, when you give something, it's like a gift. You present it. You announce it. So, Jesus' announcement of his coming, I mean, the announcement of Jesus' coming was announced by even the angels. They saw while some shepherds kept their flocks in the night, in the field by night, the angel of the Lord came upon them and said unto you, is born this day, and announced it. Then they went looking. Yeah, God announced the birth of the child, you know, by some, you know, to some wise men. They saw, they understood the constellation and the movement, the lights and the, you know, what they saw. They said, we've come. He announced it. And then, you know, as God was preparing the little child Christ, he was growing in favor with God and man. It came to a time, you know, when he began to be about 30 years of age, he was ready for that presentation. It had been going on along. It had been announced. John the Baptist announced it. You know, Isaiah had prophesied it. Micah announced it. I mean, all this. So finally, here comes the Father himself to make that presentation. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, God will always do that before he finally arrives. Number two, God sends a voice before he sends the glory, or his glory. It's always a voice. It's a voice of preparation. You know, sanctify yourselves, for the glory of the Lord is coming among you. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5. You know, there's that voice, you know, preparing them and so forth. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Moses prepared Israel for God at Mount Sinai. Today the Spirit of God is preparing that church for a fresh move, and it's preparing walking with God. The people are walking with God. The Spirit of God is preparing you for something that is about to happen. Something imminent. The Lord already, you know, knew what he was doing. I already called for it. But the heart of the people must be ready. So God is sending a voice before that glory. For he sends that glory. He does that. You know, he sends a voice even before the victory. You know, he sent a voice, you know, before the victory to tell them what they had to do. And there was strategy behind that victory. I'm talking about the story in 2 Chronicles 20. Popular story that we've shared, and I know you enjoy. We all enjoy it many times. You know, but there was one young man called Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of the house of Benani. And he was the voice in that day that told the people the strategy. Tomorrow, he said, not today. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up from the cliff, and you shall find them by the end of the brook over here and so forth. Now, this is how you are going to do. This is what you will not do, and this is what you will do. It's a strategy. God moving and telling the people strategically. You know, so that's how he does. Number three, you know, well, I mean, it's still part of God announcing his voice. You know, the preparation in our heart is the proof of expectation. Expectation. You know, I'm going to tell you what happens when people don't prepare. But let's talk about the good part first. You know, the call of God to expectation. You know, even Jesus was telling the people, look, when you see these things, well, know that it is around the corner. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near. I mean, God always telling the people, he wouldn't tell them, he said, lo, when you see this, and remember, I have told you before. Hello, I have told you before. And he's always telling them, you see these things, know that I have told you beforehand. Always preparing the heart of the people for what is to happen. The call of God is also given to interrupt our routine. That's right. You know, God, you know, interrupt our routine, you know, the comfort, the schedules, the normal routines that we have. You know, say, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 6 begin to tell us that, you know, when we are, you know, just at ease and everything is the way it used to be. No. God wants to interrupt that. Shake things up. God likes to shake things up. And, you know, that's why he calls for a gathering at times to shake things up. God is calling his people at this time, and even the people are walking with God out of this normal, casual, you know, just go through casually status quo kind of thing onto consecrated readiness. And so we're going to have some days that we really drill in into that. Prepare. You know, you might think that this is just another gathering or some other social meeting. No. It's a serious business. And now we're focused on it and we're zeroing in on it. So this whole month, preparing not only the way of the Lord, also be preparing the way of the people. You know, so what does it mean then when God is doing this? You know, God wants to transform us, even the average believer that comes into that conference must leave transformed into a champion of faith. And that's it. You know, it's not going to be some casual thing. No. And every one of us must be taken to greater heights, higher dimensions of the Spirit of God. Get to places in the spirit realm that we've never been before. Understand things that before were just mysteries, you know, and things like that. Things of God moving in our hearts, bringing a fire. I mean, it's like, you know, something burning in our hearts. All of that we must experience. But God will prepare our hearts before then. What does it mean then to prepare the way of the Lord? And how do you do it? Well, you do it through consecration. According to Psalm 24, you know, says, you know, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. So, well, the question that he posed there, which is pertinent to, you know, this gathering of September to remember, the question that he posted was, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? I mean, who's coming into that presence to experience something different? Who? Well, and he gives the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and not lifted his, you know, soul into vanity or all these things, and begin to call it out, even he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's coming. The blessing from the Lord. The psalmist, at times, he moving in that prophetic role, was a prophet. David, being a prophet, he foresaw the Lord. And he wrote many things. In Psalm 133, he said, how beautiful, wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. He said he brings anointing oil. You can compare it to fresh anointing. Oh, that means you will receive fresh anointing. The coming is like, and you know, in those days, the way they anointed people with oil, especially to anoint a king or a prophet or whatever, you know, they didn't just, you know, do a touch of oil. They poured the oil on their head. That's how they did it. Pour the oil, you know, like a pouring, an outpouring. And then they give them the testimony as well. Put a crown on their head. Those three things will happen if it's a king. Pour the oil on his head. Put the testimony in his hand. Give him a crown. You know, the testimony is how you must conduct, you know, your rule and your leadership. And so you must have clean hands and a pure heart. Consecration, therefore, clears the path for God's presence. Cleaning our hearts, getting ourselves ready, get rid of the debris and the clog and so forth, and the kinks and all of that. Let's get rid of these things so that the presence of God can flow. You know, God will not travel. Think of it this way. You know, God's not going to move in our hearts through the dirty roads. He got to have the cleanness. You know, they used to tell them in the assembly of the children of Israel, and they thought that cleanness was next to holiness. Because when God was going to visit them, say, look, you know, Moses and the rest of them would tell them, you better go through your camp and clean stuff. God's coming. I don't want to see any of that stuff. Get rid of it. God's coming among you, so sanctify yourself. Clean out the stuff, you know, so that God will come into a clean place. Glory to God. And, you know, God wants to move upon clean hearts. We prepare through consecration. We also prepare through alignment. You know, you got to align yourself with what God said He is doing and the call. When God calls for a gathering, you cannot be blessed if you don't align with that call. You can't. You got to align with that call. You know, so straight paths means removing spiritual obstacles, distractions, and different things. You know, make straight paths. You know, prepare. You know, he said crooked, made straight. You know, all these things, smooth paths. Well, that means, you know, the things that are usually stumbling blocks, you know, these are experiencing God in the way He wants to be experienced. Well, let's get those things out of the way. Get it out of the way. Well, repentance also helps to straighten out what sin has kinked up. That's right. Sin has kinked up and twisted up some things. Sin of disobedience, you know, sin of, you know, just being at ease, sin of not, you know, awakening to righteousness and all these things. You get, you know, repent. We've been talking about repentance last month, I mean the month and so on before. Repent. Clear those things out. Now, obedience will also straighten out what rebellion has bent. Just like repentance will straighten out what sin has kinked up and twisted up, obedience will also straighten what rebellion has bent and what disobedience has caused to be bent. Obedience. Obey my voice. He always said. We also prepare through unity. You know, so how do we prepare? Well, we prepare through consecration. We prepare through alignment, and we prepare through unity. Psalm 33, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God does not move in an atmosphere where there is division. That's why Paul always told them, fulfill ye my joy. Be of the same mind. Speak the same thing. With one mouth, speak the same, have the same purpose, singleness of heart, oneness of purpose. I always told them over and over again, unity builds a highway for the king. The king, he comes in on the way, the highway of unity. That's how he comes in. He said, there, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Well, not where there is confusion. Where there is confusion and strife, there is every evil work, the Bible says. Get all that out of there. And let there be unity, oneness of purpose, singleness of heart. With one mouth, speak the same thing. You know, and that's how it really happens. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass that as all the priests, 120 of them, were of one accord to make one sound, to be heard in praising the Lord. Well, their function at that time was to praise the Lord. Well, whatever the function was, whatever the purpose was, you know, everybody has to be in one accord for that mission and the theme so that the glory of God will fall. God's glory is not going to fall when there is, you know, splinter groups here and there and splinter opinions. No. Along with you stand between two opinions, God said. Got to be of one opinion. Unity will build a highway for the king to ride in upon. Unity. Powerful. There, the Lord commanded the blessing. Psalm 133, verse 3. Even life forevermore. I mean, people will even receive wellness. Abundant life, renewing of the youth, all these things happen when there is unity, tremendous unity among the people. Praise God. Focused on what God is going to do. We also prepare through expectation. Now, there cannot be anything received without expectation. God comes to people when they are hungry. That's what Jesus said. On the Sermon on the Mount, he told the people, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. For righteousness, they shall be filled. When people are hungry, you know, the psalmist, and he said, my soul thirsteth for thee, longeth for thee in a dry place. And so far I'm longing for the Lord. Well, that's what God is looking for. When you are like that, you have that hunger in your heart. Oh God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh even longeth for thee. Psalm 63. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory. You know, we got to have that kind of drive and that kind of motivation. When you have that individually, and then we come together collectively as a group and have it, heavens must drop down, you know. Yeah, skies will must pour down the glory and the righteousness. It will happen. But it needs a call to unity and a call to hungering and thirsting. Expectation is the fuel, you know, for that revival power of God that is we are expecting. Must expect, you know, must expect. Even Christ, till today, we're told that he's sitting at the right hand, you know, from henceforth expecting until all his enemies be made his footstool, and the last of them will be death. And Jesus knows it's coming, but he must be expecting it. And so we know it's coming. We must be expectation. Many of his lessons, he said, be ye expectant, for you know not the hour that your Lord cometh. It can come in the fourth watch, fifth watch, third watch, whatever. You know, so when he knocks, you will open to him immediately. Be in expectation. Expectation is necessary ingredient for this September to remember. And many people are already excited. Many people are in expectation. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear it when they pray. You can hear it in the things they are doing. Well, we need to get everybody, you know, not just one, twosies here and there. No, everybody, you know. Now, why does God call us, you know, to prepare? Why? Why doesn't God just leave it for random and say, well, you know, we'll see what happens? No. You know, the story I read to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verses 13 and 14, the glory wasn't random. He waited for something. There was a trigger. The trigger was the united voice of the people in praising the Lord. That was the trigger. There's always a trigger for the glory of God to fall. On the day of Pentecost, the trigger was they were all in one accord, waiting as Jesus said. That was the trigger, you know. They were in one accord, powerful. Now, the glory of God will not fall just randomly. It will fall where preparation has been made. That's right. Preparation has been made. That's what prepare ye the way of the Lord means. Why again does the Lord want us to prepare? Because God wants to speak to us clearly. Revelation 2 and 7 and many other verses. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Every time, every message to each of those seven churches, Jesus would say that. At the end, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Preparation, therefore, sharpens spiritual hearing. That's right. So if you are spiritually, if you have made spiritual preparations, your ears will hear sharply. during that time. You will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. The things that, you know, you heard before that went in one ear and came out the other ear, like people say, or was over your head. No, it won't be over your head. You will see what the Lord is saying. Jesus said, to you it is given to know these things that many prophets and righteous men and kings have desired to know. But now you will know them. Even, you know, angels are waiting. You know, these things are revealed in the church. Through the church, reveal these things. And, you know, when we get together in unity, it's so powerful. It draws out the deep, calls out onto the deep, like that, you know, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's right. Ephesians 3 and 10, you know, heavenly places. Some things will be known to them through the church. Even the manifold wisdom of God, they will begin to see, say, wow, this is what God was doing all along. This is why he gave us all those charge. Yeah. You know, so they begin to see according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, you know, and, but it comes through preparation. Why does God, you know, call us to prepare? Because he also wants to transform his people, will transform believers and even average believers, champions of faith. Glory to God. You know, and, you know, he said, be ye transformed. Romans 12 and 2. And 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 tells us that he is changing us from glory to glory. And that process, you know, requires preparation. To God be the glory. Requires preparation. And the other reason why, again, is he telling us to prepare? Because he's trying to position us for what is coming. Glory to God. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. But first he will reveal his plans in order to get the people motivated into expectation. Preparation is the prophetic alignment for the divine assignment that's in your future. That's what preparation is. You know, gets you aligned. You know, you got to be aligned. You got to be prepared. It's like you're going on a trip. You got to make preparation. You can't just, I mean, on a very long journey. Some of us have traveled from the United States to Nigeria, for instance. Before you go, you'd be months preparing. You know, you know, that's an alignment to what is in your future. Your future plans. Preparation brings you into alignment with those future plans. So we've been talking about this September to remember for over 7 months now. Since the beginning of this month, year, we've been talking about it. And now, we must prepare our hearts. Praise the Lord. Now, every time also that we are coming into, you know, an encounter with God, it is important. You know, as Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, it says, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. That was his own, you know, personal preparation. He had to seek, determine in his heart, he was going to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And then to teach in Israel's statutes and judgments. So for those of us who are priests, well, we got to bear the ark. We got to go in front. You got to be ready. You got to lead by example. So we got to stir up excitement and confidence and so forth in the people. So as we are preparing the way of the Lord for coming, we're also preparing the way of the people, or for the people. We're gathering out the stones. We're lifting up a highway for the people of the Lord, according to Isaiah 62 and 10. You know, that's what we are doing. Now, what is the cost of not preparing? Wow. What is the cost of not preparing or not responding to the call? Well, there was a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 22. And there was a man, a king, a wealthy man, and so forth, a man of influence, that made, you know, a feast and invited a lot of people. And he himself was making preparation. You know, and one day when everything was ready, he sent to remind them that everything, so that saved the date, he's now here, come. We sent the save the date out for 7 months. You know, we've been talking about it. Now it's just around the corner. All things are now ready. But what did the people do? They started to make excuses. One of them said, I just married a new wife. Oh, I just bought a lamb. Oh, I just bought some cattle. Gotta go prove them. Oh, I did this. I gotta go till my orchard. I gotta go do this and so on. Every one of them, they made excuses. One excuse after the other. This was something, invitation that was given them for a long time. They heard about it, you know. Let me read it to you. Jesus spoke to them again by way of parables and said, it's Matthew 22, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, you know, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidding to the wedding. You know, when you're making a marriage, you make a lot of preparation. They've been a long time preparing. You know, it's like Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And it's ready, I'm coming to get you. Well, and they said that they sent out the save the date a long time. They say, hey, you know, you're invited. And then, well, the servant went out and said, you know, give them, that saved the date you received months ago is now ready. We are here now, right there. Come. Everything is ready. And then what happened? They would not come. You know, they would not come. And every one of them began to make excuses. Made excuses. They made light of it even, and they went on their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise, the remnant, you know, and they even were despiteful. They despised the servant. They took them, ill-treated them. They rubbished what the servant was saying. You know, and they just did everything. And finally the man said, wow, was angry. Sent forth, you know, destroy all those people. They will not, none of them will come to my feast. But go into the highways. And go into the byways and whatever you find there, gather them in, because my house must be filled. Well, you don't want people from the highways that were not even invited at first to take your place. Well, Jesus said, I tell you, there shall in the kingdom come harlots and this and that, and even the children of the kingdom will be cast out. Because they made light of things. And Jesus, he told another powerful parable like that. You know, he said, well, a man had two sons. And he began to tell the first one, you know, Jesus gave the invitation. He came. He gave the invitation first to the Jews. He said, well, you know, but they said, no, I'm not going. And he turned to the, to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles said, yeah, I'm going, but they didn't go. You know, so either way, they did not meet expectation of the master. You know, and there was another parable he told. He said, look, I have been digging this vineyard, prepping it for 3 years, coming to find fruit on it, and I'm not finding fruit. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground again? And Holy Spirit said, oh, hold on. Hold on now. Yes, let's give it a little more time. Give me some more time. Let me do a little bit with them again. And if I can't get it, then you cut it down. And so God is always disappointed when he calls people for something and they don't respond. You know, and then they do all kinds of things. Matthew 21 told the same thing. Wicked husbandmen, and he loaned a thing to do, and they began to beat his servants and everything. You know, and even that finally he sent his son, and so on. So, the point here is, God wants us not only to make preparation, but to respond to the call. Hallelujah. So, unprepared hearts will miss the day of visitation, the divine visitation. You know, when God calls, he expects people to respond, but sometimes people can actually ignore, make light of it. See these stories, just make light of it. And say, hey, why are you bothering me? I've got these other things that I need to do. You know, so these missed moments, it's a great moment that is coming. The crane and the turtle and the birds of the air, they know their visitation, but my people know not the day of the Lord, or the time of their peace and the things that, you know, belong unto them. And Jesus, oftentimes, he lamented over cities that were dear to his heart because he was there. And yet, you know, they missed it. Point blank, they missed it. And Jesus said, if thou would have known, in Luke chapter 19, verse 42, if thou would have known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto you and to your peace, if you have known it, the day that God is bringing these things to you, if you know it, but now I say, well, it's hid from your eyes. Why? Because of, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. One time Jesus called a man. He said, follow me. The man said, but I got to go bury my dad. I got to go do this thing. I got to go bid my family farewell. I got to do this. I got to do that. Some of them he called, and they promptly left everything, and they followed him. You know, those he brought near to him, gave them secrets, you know. But some he called, there were many he called. They didn't always respond like Peter, Andrew, and the rest of them. Some of them made excuses. You know, I want to go bury my dad. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Oh, I got to go, you know, bid my family farewell. Jesus said, look, if you put your hands on the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Eyes on the plow. I mean, hands on the plow, eyes on the prize. Move forward like that. No man, having put his hand on the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. You can read these stories in Luke chapter 9. Yeah. One of them came to him, actually wanted to do it. But, you know, his heart wasn't right. And the Lord had to prepare him. Look, he said, look, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where he to lay his head. So there was really somebody that wanted to do it, but Jesus wanted to make sure, count the cost. Count the cost if you say you want to follow me. He told him. Well, how that man reacted later, we're not told. Another one, but then he turned around to another one and said, follow me. These stories are in Luke chapter 9, you know, from verse 57 to the end. He said, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my dad first. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You know, that's again the emphasis that Jesus puts on the preaching of the kingdom of God. You know, much more important than burying even your dead father. And Jesus said, well. And another one said, yeah, but Lord, I want to follow you. But first, let me go and bid farewell. I mean, it's always one thing or the other. to be a distraction to those at my house. I say, well, I mean, you already said you are following me. What are you turning back for? If you're following me, stay the course and stay on the path. I say, look, when you put your hands on the plow and you're looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom. You know, so we got to examine ourselves. You know, the consecration that's ahead of us, the casualness, you know, a lackadaisical attitude will kill that consecration. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. Some of these prophets, they were really bold. They put some things out there. This Jeremiah in particular. He would tell you, your face, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. If you're going to do it, you better do it the right way. Put it out there. It's a stern warning. Now, casual Christianity produces powerless Christians. Powerless. Can't get anything done. Because they're just casual, just do the work of the Lord lackadaisically and just casually like that. You know, not fired up. That's not going to bring any power of God on. Now, heaven, this is part of the, you know, what happens when people do not prepare. Well, heaven will just move on until he finds somebody who will prepare or who has been prepared or is prepared. Heaven moves on without those who won't prepare. You know, Jesus, when the foolish came, they were not prepared. Well, he had already moved on. The door was shut. By the time they came and said, Lord, open unto us, I said, no, too late. Because you did not prepare. Yeah, you know, so preparation is so important. Don't come to the September to Remember event just casually. You must be prepared. And, well, by the grace of God, we're going to make sure that everybody is called into preparation. Because that's what God said. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, instruct them, you know, so we're doing that. So there's a prophetic call right now. The prophetic call is to September to Remember. That's our focus now, because we're just today, August 2nd, is exactly a month from the day that people will start arriving at the conference. Those who might be coming from out of town will arrive the day before, you know, which is September 2nd. So, you know, it is time for us to make preparation. The set time has come, men and brethren. Psalm 102 and verse 13. God has scheduled a visitation. That's right. He scheduled it. And given us months to get ready. God is patient like that. You know, making and preparation is how we make sure that we're going to keep that divine appointment. You know, I'm going to be talking about when God calls a gathering. Tell you some more about that. Now, in this gathering that God is calling, he will be raising champions of faith. That's right. Remember, faith is the thing that really pleases the Lord. You know, that's why Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. But without faith, we're told, it is impossible to please the Lord. So by faith, we learn that Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. For without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Even as we read in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. So, the set time, the time to favor has come. And the preparation is how we make sure we're going to be ready to keep that appointment. In the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 32, champions of faith are arising. The people that do know their God shall be strong. Well, there's some knowledge that must be imparted. You know, Because knowledge, some people say knowledge is power. Well, spiritual knowledge is spiritual power. The devil, there's some things he doesn't want you to know, because if you know the truth, the truth will make you free. John 8 and 32. So the devil makes sure you don't know this truth. That you are just stuck in all kinds of half-truths and different things that cannot get you there. You know. Now, preparation produces spiritual strength. That's the preparation about knowing God is what makes them strong. People that do know their God. How do you know? You learn, you study, you listen. They will be strong and they will do exploits. God is preparing warriors, not spectators. You know, you must come prepared to be a warrior, not a spectator. God is not doing spectator sports. Spectator sports is for people that will not know his ways. God showed his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Children of Israel were involved in spectator sports, just seeing, but they didn't know God, you know. So that's why they fell by the wayside. Moses said, I want to know you. That's right. Show me that way, O Lord, that I may know thee. You know, that knowledge comes, you know, from searching, knowing, learning, trusting in his grace that he will reveal it to us. You know, and then that knowledge will make you strong. The people that do know their God shall be strong. You know, they become champions of faith. They will do exploits. And they will not be spectators. Even those who volunteer, they are part of the, must be part of the preparation. You know, volunteer casually, you know, don't put your hands in things, you know, with dirty hands. You know, there was a man called Uzzah. He was trying to help the ark, put off his hand, and God slew him because his heart was not even clean. Don't put your hand there if you're not ready. You know, it is required, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, for stewards, volunteers, or whoever, that a man be found faithful, serving in the house of God, or serving in any ministry or any mission, requires, you know, preparation. It's an atmosphere that is prepares for God's moving. Faithful hands are the ones that build the highway for the king. Your hand is not clean, you go and try to put it onto the ark, and it just knocked the guy down. He did that. So, our final charge today is, number one, prepare your heart. To prepare your heart, you must have clean hands, pure motives, and an open spirit. You know, as, you know, it relates to this gathering. No murmuring of any kind. You know, prepare. Number two, prepare the atmosphere through worship, daily prayer, and unity, and so forth. Number three, prepare your expectation. How do you prepare your solution? Say, well, God is coming. God will move. God will speak. And you prepare, you know, your expectation. You say, our God will come. And he will say, well, I mean, God is coming among us. Whoo, my goodness. You know, I got to be ready. God is going to move. I got to be ready. I got to be a part of it. God is going to speak. I got to hear what he's going to say. You know, and so on. Prepare our heart. You know, and also prepare your service. Prepare to be of service, not just to be a spectator. You know, Colossians 3 and 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Even those who have volunteered, some of them are doing an amazing job. They have prepared their heart. They are doing it before the Lord. They're doing it great too. We appreciate them. Some of you are still wondering, how may I help? Well, prepare your heart. And the Lord will show you. You know, don't just be casual about everything. That's not going to work. God's not looking for the casual bystander. No. Once those who are engaged. Jesus often spoke about that. John 6:63. He said, you must engage the things of the Lord in the spirit. If you don't engage, well, the flesh will profit you nothing. Glory to God. So that preparation is that bridge between prophecy and manifestation. Now, the prophecy is September to remember. It's prophetic. Preparation is what's going to make that to become a manifestation. That's right. You know, your preparation will determine your encounter and your experience. Now, God is going to come, that's for sure. You know, I mean, it's like the Lord is coming for to catch away the church. You know, whether people are ready or not, he's going to come. You know, but only those that are ready. See? So, you know, the same thing in this September to remember. God is coming in the camp. There's no question about it. But will you have the full experience? Well, that will be determined by the level of your preparation. You know, level of your preparation. Even the things that we speak, the things that we do, they must start. Jesus said they start in the heart. Say, out of the heart, you know, out of the abundance of the heart proceeds the things that people do. Even what you speak comes out of your heart. Well, the preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue. Yeah. First, it starts in the heart. Prepare your heart. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You know, so that's our call to preparation today. I'm going to wrap it up today by summarizing to you what I said. At the beginning, I told you what I was going to say. Now I've told you. Now I'm going to tell you what I told you. Praise the Lord. That's how you give, you know, a dissertation. So let me tell you what I have told you. Praise the Lord. We started out by talking about this whole subject of preparing the way of the Lord and other people. We looked at examples, how God announces what he's doing and even he's coming before he actually arrives. You know, we talk about God moving not just randomly, you know, or suddenly, but he moves strategically, prophetically, and purposefully. It's already talked about it. Preparing the hearts gives the people time to be ready. Even if it's just a day, like tomorrow. Right? It gives you the whole day to worship, to prepare your heart. God, God is the one that gives instruction. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That instruction came from God. Gather the assembly. Came from God. God always sends his voice before he sends his glory. We talked about that. Preparation is the proof of your expectation. We talked about that. And we said God will sometimes interrupt your routine. You know, interrupted those people. They were fishermen and so forth. Jesus said, come, you know. Yeah, interrupted man. One man was sitting at the table of taxes. You know, they come. Matthew got up, he followed him. Yeah, interrupted them. You know, God will call people out of casual Christianity. We spoke about that, into consecrated readiness. You know, so don't be casually just thinking about the September to remember thing. Be consecrated in your preparation. Now, we talk about what it means to prepare the way of the Lord and to prepare the way of the people. Well, prepare the way of the people is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm doing. And prepare the way of the Lord is what all of us must do. You know. The priest will prepare the way of the people. The whole people must prepare the way of the Lord. So we are doing this. We're preparing through consecration, clean hands, pure heart. We prepare through alignment, straight paths. We'll remove obstacles, repentance. We'll straighten out. You know what sin, the Bible says, sin has caused his ear, you know, Isaiah 59:1 and so on. You know, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear deaf that it cannot hear. But your sin has made a separation, you know, between you and the Lord, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. So, but repentance will fix all that. Obedience will straighten what rebellion has bent. That's right. Kinks are rebellion. You know, resistances, you know, the hose is trying to resist the water from passing through, so it kinks up. That's rebellion. You know, and you obey, say, hey, the water is coming, open up. And the kink, the hose opens up and the water can pass through. So obedience will straighten out what rebellion has bent. Now, we must also prepare through unity. We talked about the blessings prophesied in Psalm 133. We must prepare through expectation. Jesus said something, a powerful scripture. Let me add that here now. Mark 11:24. And he was talking about a process of preparation. Yeah, it's in a way, it's also preparation. You know, what things soever you desire when you pray, you know, you believe and you shall have them. Shall receive them is future, but you prepare your heart now to receive. You know, you must use that expectation. Now, why does God call us to prepare? We talked about that. Because he wants to reveal his glory. Because he wants to speak to us clearly. Because he wants to transform his people. And because he's positioning us for what is coming. And then we talked about the cost of not preparing. You know, how people miss the day of their visitation. You know, what happens when your heart's not prepared? You will find excuses. And unprepared hearts will miss the day of divine visitation. And then, you know, we find that, you know, people will just become casual, you know, satisfied with the status quo. That's a great warning. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, or, you know, being unfaithful or unfaithfully, because it is required in a sovereign that a man be found faithful. Now, lastly, we made a call for preparation. Heaven will move on if you're not prepared. You'll get only those who are prepared. So be careful now. Be ready. This season, God is calling us into September to remember. It's a prophetic gathering. The Lord called for it. It's a divine appointment. Preparation is what makes sure that we're going to keep that appointment. Praise the Lord. Don't let anything keep you from it. God will be raising champions of faith. The more you know about God, the stronger you become. Daniel 11:32. People that do know their God shall be strong. Hallelujah. You know, so prepare your heart. Prepare your atmosphere. Prepare your expectation. Prepare your service also for the Lord. This prepare the way of the Lord and prepare the way of other people. It's announcing a moment, a movement, a something that's coming. That your preparation is a bridge to what's being prophesied, the prophecy and the manifestation of it. Preparation is a bridge in between. Your preparation will also determine, you know, the level or the height of your encounter during those moments. To God be the glory. Well, that's our lesson today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. Encourage people to believe and prepare. To God be the glory. I know a lot of people are not here today because it's Sunday, they're in service somewhere. But we put the word out anyway so that people can listen to it through replays or whatever. And for those who listen now, those who will listen later, let the word of God dwell richly in our hearts. In all these things, to God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Help us, O Lord, prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord. Seek the word of the Lord. Set our face steadfastly to seek the Lord. And to be ready to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. For he will do a great work in our midst. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.